Hello, everyone, and welcome to an all-new episode of Insurance Uncovered. This podcast is produced by the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies and is your source for insurance news and perspective from thought leaders in the property casualty insurance industry. I'm your host, Kathy Imus, and today we're uncovering a proposal to undo Michigan's auto no-fault reforms, why advocates say earlier reforms need more time to work. And Louisiana will soon have a new insurance commissioner. Tim Temple joins us to discuss his plans to draw more insurance companies to the state's market. A proposal in Michigan would undo the 2019 NEMIC-supported bipartisan reforms on auto insurance. Prior to the 2019 reforms, Michigan had the highest auto insurance rates in the country, consequently leading to a high number of uninsured motorists. The primary cost driver was a system that allowed for injured consumers to receive unlimited medical benefits for their injuries from auto crashes through PIP coverage. PIP claims tend to be tied to very high medical costs, which make them an attractive target for fraud and abuse. And the costs of this fraud and abuse were ultimately reflected in the least affordable auto insurance system for insurance consumers in the country. NEMIC Regional Vice President Andrew Perkins says while well-intentioned, new efforts to restrict insurers' ability to match rate to risk are ill-advised.
NEMIC continues to support the bipartisan agreement on auto no-fault reforms from 2019. However, we do continue to urge lawmakers who are considering new reforms that potentially could change or unravel what was previously agreed to have thoughtful and thorough conversations, really. The reforms that were passed in 2019, they seem to have worked. I mean, to remind everybody, Michigan had the highest and most expensive auto insurance in the country prior to the reforms, and that they have now gone down. So we'll continue to work with legislators and go from there.
It's worth noting that Michigan is not immune to the unprecedented cost pressures facing the auto industry nationwide, which include more expensive cars, more frequent and severe crashes, more distracted drivings, and more DUIs. New legislation is on the way to streamline the national disaster aid process. Louisiana Representative Garrett Graves plans to introduce the Expediting Disaster Recovery Act this month, which was passed by the House with overwhelming bipartisan support in the last Congress. The bill authorizes FEMA to provide financial assistance for, quote, unmet needs, a term generally referring to the Department of Housing and Urban Development's responsibilities in disaster recovery. To expedite financial assistance, the bill would create a mechanism for states to report to FEMA the criteria established for determining how the funds are spent and how funds are ultimately allocated, rather than requiring federal approval. NEMIC is supportive of the bill, as it is a common-sense solution to an oftentimes slow and confusing process for states and communities attempting to apply and receive federal disaster recovery assistance. Also on Capitol Hill, a House Financial Services subcommittee is expected to hold a hearing next week on general insurance issues with a focus on property casualty insurance. The hearing, a grab bag of sorts in which the state of the industry will be explored, is the first of its kind for the committee in several years. NAMIC will submit testimony outlining several priority issues, including the new era of risk facing insurers, auto advocacy on Capitol Hill to address rising costs of auto ownership, and federal regulatory overreach into the business of insurance. Well, it looks like Louisiana appears headed in the new direction when it comes to insurance regulation. That's after 17 years in office and the retirement of incumbent Insurance Commissioner Jim Donilon, who steps down at the beginning of 2024. He will be replaced by fellow Republican Tim Temple, who ran unopposed for the position. On today's Unscripted, NAMIC CEO Neil Aldridge talks with Temple about his plans to draw more insurance companies to the Louisiana insurance market.
Joining me today on Unscripted is Louisiana's insurance commissioner-elect, Tim Temple. Tim will assume the position in January after longtime Commissioner Jim Donlan has decided not to seek re-election. So Tim will be the commissioner in Louisiana come January the 8th, I guess. So Tim, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to getting to know you a little bit better.
Looking forward to the interview and glad to be here today.
Great. So let's start a little bit about Matt. A lot of our listeners are probably not in Louisiana. They may work for insurance companies that do business in Louisiana, but they may not all be familiar with your background. So just talk a little bit about your experience and your background. You have some insurance industry background as well. So just talk a little bit about that for us.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm second generation insurance professional. I grew up under an insurance roof. My father was heavily involved in the insurance industry for most of his career. And, you know, I never thought I would be in the insurance industry. I guess I never had, you know, a desire or a plan, I guess I should say, to be in the industry. But, you know, immediately after graduating high school, the very next day, my father and I got on an airplane and went to Europe. And about 7 days later, I was beginning an internship at Lloyd's of London, which I did for the remainder of the summer before college started. And so I guess you could say I kind of got started there. Mm-hmm. But after graduating high school and then for the next over 20 years, 23, 25 years, I was involved in the insurance industry. Started off as an insurance agent. That was back when, you know, they gave you a telephone. And for those of you that remember, a phone book. Uh-huh. And you just, you know, here's your list of potential customers. Start calling. And I did that in Shreveport, Louisiana, an agency office that my family had there for 2 years. Moved over to Dallas, Texas, and continued my agency work there for another couple of years. And then transitioned, managed a Bermuda captive that we had started it through runoff, and then became a reinsurance broker. Moved over to the reinsurance side and was an active reinsurance broker for almost 10 years there. And then moved over to the executive management team for one of the largest commercial trucking MGAs in the country.
Okay.
Stayed there for, I guess, 5 years and then moved from there, moved from Dallas physically back to Louisiana, moved to New Orleans, and I was part of a TPA, third party administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And that right when I came on board that company, for those of you that remember the BP oil spill, the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, that happened, and I was able to get our firm some work working underneath Ken Feinberg's Gulf Coast claims facility. And you know, that was 1 million claims, I think $25 billion dispersed through the GCCF.
Mm-hmm.
Left that company and went over and worked for one of the largest catastrophe claims adjusting firms.
Gotcha.
We had, you know, we deployed folks all over the country whenever insurance companies needed surge capacity on their adjusters. We were involved in the federal recovery program in New York and New Jersey after Superstorm Sandy.
Gotcha.
And then in 2017, I exited the industry, if you will, and my brother and I started managing some family assets. I ran for commissioner in 2019, lost that race 47-53.
Mm-hmm.
But I was encouraged with the results. The first time I'd ever run a race, much less a statewide race, and you know, kind of never stopped running since then. And that brings us to the current. You know, I had announced in October of 22 that I was going to run again against the current commissioner, and then in March he announced that he would be retiring. No one else qualified for the office, and I automatically became commissioner elect.
That's a great background. That a lot of insurance commissioners around the country, some of them have insurance backgrounds, but it's pretty common for many of them not to have a lot of insurance backgrounds. So it's great to have somebody in Louisiana with that kind of background and seeing the business kind of from all sides there. So that that leads us to our next sort of discussion point, which is you're in Louisiana. Not known as one of the easiest markets to operate in. If you're an insurance company, in our case, property casualty insurers, everybody knows not only do you have, you know, you have coastal exposure in Louisiana, but other issues with the state. So you know, obviously, besides some of the issues that everybody knows that relates to hurricanes, what can you talk to us about some of the factors that are going on in the Louisiana market that, you know, some things you think insurers are, that are could be seen as strengths, but other things that could be areas of improvement for the marketplace there?
Yeah, and, you know, and you're right. I mean, the entire country is seeing just an increase in catastrophic events across the country.
Yeah.
You know, I've read the article that I think we've already had 23 catastrophic events that have exceeded $1 billion, you know, per event in claims activity. So the whole country is experiencing that. But Louisiana, certainly, you know, we're one of five Gulf Coast states with hurricane exposure.
Right.
And you know, one of the things I think that I bring, an awareness that I bring to the office, is the understanding that insurance companies do not have to do business in any particular state.
Right.
You know, they choose to put their capital at risk in states where they feel that they're going to be treated fairly from a regulatory standpoint, you know, as well as from a legal standpoint.
Right.
And look, when an insurance company or companies or when the industry as a whole starts to experience the level of claims that we've seen recently, that puts a stress, obviously, on you know, a financial stress on those companies. And like any business or any people, when you get stressed, you start to pull back from your pain points. You know, for things, if a line of business is pulling you down, or a sector or a state, well, then, you know, you get a bunch of smart people in the room and you start looking to see where you can triage.
Right.
I certainly understand that. And, you know, it's my belief that Louisiana is not the best from a regulatory standpoint for companies to want to pick to do business in. And it certainly is it from a legal standpoint.
Right.
And that's, I guess I said, you know, an awareness that I bring to that office. I've said ever since, I've been saying it for months that, you know, as the incoming commissioner of insurance, you know, I work for the people of Louisiana, but I work with the insurance industry. You know, you've got to balance. You've got to create an environment where companies feel that they can come in, they can manage their risk, not the department, not the government. You know, you let free market principles dictate, you know, where you as broadly as you can.
Yeah.
Work within the constraints of the regulatory environment to protect the consumer. But, you know, I want companies to look at Louisiana and say, I want to do business there because, you know, we're going to be treated fairly from a regulatory standpoint. And, you know, the law is going to look at us, I guess, equally, if you will.
Sure. Yeah. We talk a lot about some of the other states that have challenges, but the consumer protection, you know, the best consumer protection is having insurance available to consumers to buy. Right. I mean, that's and we're getting to the, I mean, the affordability question is one thing. My belief is one of these factors in Louisiana and Florida and other coastal places, insurance is going to be more expensive than it is in other places. That's just a fact of life. But what you really need to focus on is making it available to people to purchase. And we're teetering on some real availability questions in some markets. And that, I think, has really changed the dynamic here. I know that's part of the discussion in Louisiana. Have you given some thought to how you want to attract new companies to do business there?
Well, you know, I mean, I've certainly got some ideas, but one of the things I've been doing since August 15th, when I became commissioner-elect, was I've started engaging stakeholders.
Yeah.
You know, I traveled to the NAIC in Seattle about 6 weeks ago, and met with, you know, insurance company representatives, executives, folks in and around this industry, just to begin the conversation there. But I've also engaged stakeholders here in Louisiana. You know, I've worked with, I've spoken with several times a lot of the agency groups, the Louisiana, the Big Eye here in
sure.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
The PIA, professional insurance agents groups, to get their perspective from the production side of it. I've sat down with plaintiff attorneys to understand, you know, try to understand their view of, you know, what needs to be done, what doesn't need to be done, and working with other consumer advocacy groups, as well as just consumers in general. Because, you know, my approach is going to be very collaborative. This is not going to be Tim Temple's path to prosperity, if you will. I mean, it truly needs to be, you know, you need to get as many stakeholders around the table as you can to identify what the problems are, agree what those problems are, mm-hmm. and then work through solutions that everybody can live with. Again, to make it so that insurance companies are not unjustly, I don't know what the right phrase there is, but there's not the adverse selection, I guess, using an insurance term, against them doing business in the state of Louisiana. And like I say, I've said it before, and you'll hear me say it a lot, you know, the goal is to work for the consumer, but work with the industry. And you said it earlier, you know, the best consumer protection that anyone can have is choice. Yeah. And look, in Louisiana, we've had 12 companies go insolvent. We've had I just read a report yesterday that said that 50 companies, property companies, homeowner companies have either left the state or to the point where they're not writing. It's effectively leaving the state. And that was out of a market of about 120 total companies writing property in the state of Louisiana. I mean, just call it 50%. That has devastated the marketplace here. And we've got to correct that.
Yeah, it's, you know, this, there's a lot of perception issues around our industry. People have this negative perception of the industry and that insurers are, you know, greedy and only interested in, you know, making a profit. But what they really want to do is sell insurance to people that live everywhere. You know, it's in there. That's what they really want to do. And so when companies get to the point when they're actually saying we can't do business there anymore, if we can't take on any more risk and pick your place, whether it's California or Louisiana or wherever it may be, I think policymakers have a duty to look around and say, well, what has gotten us to this point, right? These are economic creatures. They're in business to sell this product, and they can't do it in our state effectively. There's something fundamental going on here that we've got to look at. And so I think your approach here is really, you know, don't get caught up into the insurance companies are the bad guys and I'm here to make sure consumers are, you know, get the cheapest insurance they can. I think your approach is very refreshing and one that people need to hear, which is your job number one is to make sure consumers can buy insurance in Louisiana and make sure that, you know, it works and the companies want to do business there. So that's a really great approach, I think, and one that I hope the industry will listen to because they want to do business there, right? I mean, that's what they're in business for. And so it's an interesting dichotomy that we have gotten to this point. There's lots of challenges in the industry, no doubt, right now all over the country. I'm not picking on Louisiana. As you mentioned, it's all over. And so one of the areas that we talk a lot about, you mentioned it earlier, legal reform. Louisiana is perhaps not the friendliest legal system to insurance companies in the country. Have you given some thought to, you know, your role there? I know there's maybe not a lot you can do directly, but you can certainly be a spokesperson on that issue.
Sure, certainly. And, you know, one of the things that I've been very vocal about here in Louisiana, and as your viewers may or may not know, is that, you know, we're going through a statewide election cycle. You know, my race is over and I'm looking forward to stepping into the office. But, you know, we've got five other statewide offices running, from governor, lieutenant governor, our secretary of state, our attorney general, and our treasurer. And, you know, I've been engaged with those folks talking about the need to address reform, insurance reform in Louisiana. Same thing with our legislative body, with our state and our state senators and our state House members. The need to have a special session. I can't call one as a commissioner of insurance, but the governor can, or the House and Senate leadership can call one. And I have been very vocal that if we want to see any type of near-term movement in the property market, for sure, that we've got to have a special session as early in January as we can, because just looking at a calendar, you know, our session doesn't start until March.
Right.
It wouldn't end until June. So any changes that we would enact that would encourage markets to come back, capacity to come into the state, wouldn't take effect until, you know, July, August, which is right in the middle of hurricane season. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've been very vocal that we need to address some reform. And I guess specifically to your question, you know, I think one of the biggest items that Louisiana needs to look at is our bad faith. You know, that is one. We have a very broad interpretation of what bad faith is. I know some of our neighboring states have in recent years tightened theirs up and cleaned it up so that you know what bad faith is. You don't have to have someone, it's not subjective like it is here in Louisiana. I think we desperately need to look at that. That's one that I would encourage and be, and I would want that to be part of a special session call. But like I said earlier, I also, you know, want to have take a very collaborative approach and make sure that all the stakeholders involved can sit down and agree that that needs to be done. Otherwise, we're just going to continue to, you know, to just wallow in this market that we're in of unaffordability, unavailability, which does nobody any good.
Yeah, no doubt. And the bad faith, I would tell you, is a great place to start. It's the thing that gets insurers' attention. We recently have a, not in Louisiana, but in a southern state, give you an example of how absurd some of the bad faith stuff has gotten in some places. There's an active piece of litigation right now where an insurer lost a first round bad faith decision because they sent their claims check too fast under the law. They have 15 days to do it, and the claimant got their check before the 15-day waiting period, and so they're alleging bad faith from the insurance company. I mean, it's a great example of how that's just gotten backwards, right?
You used to be awarded for efficiency. Now you're being punished for it.
Right. And that's a real live piece of litigation somewhere that, you know, an insurance company is spending money on today, you know, that is silly, really, by any measure. And that's an area, I think, where the industry and consumers alike can benefit from, because, I mean, that's also consumer protection, right? You're talking about real costs in the system that don't have to be there. Just because of the way the litigation environment has gotten so sideways. So we really would encourage you to be a leader there. That's a great thing for you to do. And it matters to everybody involved in the market.
Certainly.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No. You're certainly right. And like I said, there are several other pieces of legislation that I know the stakeholders, and we've talked about just around the edges, and we will certainly be getting, you know, taking a deeper dive, looking at those individual pieces of legislation with the intent of bringing them into a special session early in January.
Great. Well, listen, Tim, thank you for joining us today. Thanks for taking this role on. It's an interest, somebody who's running for the first time in elected office to pick this one is a little unusual. And not always maybe the most direct path. So we wish you nothing but the best. We're certainly, we view ourselves as a partner here to you, and we'll do what we can to be a partner on the advocacy front in Louisiana to help work with you to convince others that some of these changes are necessary and good for everybody as part of our job. So we look forward to working with you on that. And we again, thank you for your time today. And thank you for taking this leadership role on. You may wake up one day in January and wonder what you signed up for. But it's something that is a public service. And we thank you for that.
Well, I'm excited to take on the office. It's desperately needed. You know, and I'm as my wife knows, when I, you know, first decided to run for this office back in 2018, that I'm at the age and stage of my life where I think I can bring that to, you know, to its maximum potential there. I'm eager to do it. And I say this all the time to people, you know, insurance, it's a good industry. It's not just a good industry, but it's a career. And like you were alluding to earlier, you know, I think people get into this really, whether they acknowledge it or not, they get into it because they're helping people.
Sure.
At the end of the day, you know, when you think about it, when you interact with your insurance company, you're either paying your premium or you're reporting a claim. And when you're reporting a claim, you know, whether it's a car wreck or a house fire, you know, or a tornado or a, you know, water leak, whatever it's, you know, or a bad medical diagnosis, it's when you're, something catastrophic has happened in your life and you need that partnership there. And I think a lot of people get in this business because they realize they're helping people when they need it the most. And that's why I'm excited about taking on this new role, because I think I can help more people. You know, if I'm successful doing what I, you know, what I aim to do.
Good. Well, thank you again for joining us today. We wish you all the luck, and we'll work there with you to help make Louisiana's market better for everybody.
Well, I look forward to doing this again soon, I hope.
Great, we'll do it. Thanks, Tim.
And that's all for this week's episode of Insurance Uncovered. We'll be back again on November 1st with more insurance news. Until next time, I'm Kathy Imus. Have a great day.